two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. It's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell to my right. Huge day in the state of Utah. Announcement, of course, the UFC's coming to UFC 278 coming to Salt Lake City. Dana White was in town. Ryan Smith, part of that announcement as well over at Vivint Smart Home Arena. And our own Hanson Scotty were also over there broadcasting live. And awesome pickups that they had with Ryan Smith and Dana White on the whole deal. We're going to have Sean O'Connell join us a little bit later this hour. Roll out a little bit how big this is. Or how big the UFC really is. I think a lot of people out there who are like, you, Scott, to go, yeah, I just never got into the fights. It's such a huge deal. It's such a massive deal. So we'll roll out and kind of see what that big picture is for Ryan Smith and Vivint Smart Home Arena to get that event to come here to Utah. First, though, speaking of big events, tomorrow, BYU going to have their football media day. That's where we're going to kick things off here with our BYU insider, Mitch Harper. It's The Cut right here at the top of the hour.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
You head over to KSLSports.com. You can read Mitch Harper's byline, anything that has to do with BYU. He's on top of it. Tomorrow, a huge day for BYU. Today, they restructured some senior leadership for that Big 12 move, trying to make everything look a little bit like an athletics department would look inside these big programs. I think BYU is a lot of the way there. Mitch Harper joins us on the program right now. Mitch, what kind of moves happened today, and what is it in comparison? Like, what does this really do for the program? What does it look like compared to other programs across the new Big 12 coming up in 2023?
It's very comparable. The most notable thing is that some individuals that were already in the athletic department, they've now been promoted to senior associate athletic directors, and they become kind of the right-hand people for Tom Homo. So now, instead of having so many people in the athletic department report to Tom, a lot of those people now will report to these individuals, being David Almodova and individuals like that. So, and then they also hired a new individual from Clemson to lead up their social media efforts. So I think it's very comparable in that sense, and BYU is looking to ramp up its efforts, as you said, going into the Big 12 Conference, because more than ever, they got to have a chance to kind of streamline the process and make it more efficient than ever before.
Why does it have to be his right-hand man? Why can't it be the left-hand man?
He's going to have to have him on both sides.
I'm the left-handed guy here. I feel slighted.
That's a good point,
guys. Always slighted. Look, so much talk is, even these hires, it's all about the Big 12. How much of a concern is there that BYU is just going to kind of overlook this whole season? And is there really – what is the value of this season, too?
I think it's a valid point because, honestly, you know, I pointed this out on Cougar Tracks last week. You know, there might be games against – you know, there's Baylor, there's Stanford, but in the grand scheme of things, what does it really mean? And that's always been a kind of a talking point in independence. And with so many – underclassmen in the program, a lot of these guys could return. I think, you know, guys like Jaron Hall and Blake Freeland, they're going to be gone, probably Puka Nacua too. But, you know, there's a lot that's going to be part of BYU football in 2023. And we've seen a BYU program, you know, last year, a lot of times where they played down to their competition and they looked like there was not that consistency week in, week out from BYU. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be a challenge, I think, to not look ahead to the Big 12. And I got to imagine a lot of the questions that players and coaches will field from the media members, and including myself, will be centered around, you know, the Big 12. Because honestly, I think that, you know, this year it'd be nice for BYU to get, you know, double digit wins and have another national ranking. But ultimately, I think everyone in the BYU fan base would rather have instant success in year one in the Big 12 conference. That's going to matter a lot more than, you know, trying to get another 10-win season and end up in some third-tier bowl game that ESPN slots them in.
That's what I was going to say.
Hawaii Bowl.
The Hawaii Bowl. Hey, Mitch, if it's Christmas Day, would your wife and kids allow you to go to the Hawaii Bowl? I mean, come on.
It would totally come with the catch of, well, we got to go too. And so I would say, Nate, you know, can the wife and kids go? Because I'm happy to cover it. I'm all in.
Hey,
you know me.
Nate, could you add a couple more people onto the old P card here? The expense account is going to be actually at Ulani at the Disney Resort. No problem. It'll be on file. Okay, so for tomorrow, like you were saying, I mean, it's one of those things that we are, you know, we're all looking forward to 2023. And frankly, I'll tell you too, having been at all of these in the independence era, having been at all of these media days, I know you know this feeling too, where you sit down and these announcements start to give me the state of the program that Tom Holmoe kicks off with Dave McCann. And everybody's sitting there going, okay, what's hopefully a big-ish announcement that's going to be rolling out? And tomorrow, they don't have to have it. Like, there's no, like, yeah, opponent. But is there something on the horizon that people could be like, hey, that's a really, really amazing thing? Is there some announcement that BYU could be making tomorrow that we might not necessarily be expecting for their media day?
I think that, you know, one thing that I'm keeping an eye on would be if they announce the 2023 non-conference schedule, which could tie into that first year in the Big 12. Because earlier this month, you know, when I asked Tom Holmoe about that vacancy left behind by Tennessee, Tom said it was very close to being done, that non-conference schedule. He said it was just a matter of crossing some T's and dotting some I's, and that, as he put it, it would be announced very soon. So that could be something that maybe gets announced, because that could tie in to that future Big 12 era, what the non-conference slate will look like. And also, as we discussed, the bowl game, maybe what ESPN slides them in this year. Maybe they become an anchor of a specific bowl game. Right now, they're ESPN bowl free agent, where they just go to one of the ESPN event bowls, but maybe they say, you know, you're going to the Hawaii Bowl and make it official that, you know, if they're bowl eligible, they're going to be going to the Hawaii Bowl. So I could see that as well.
We talked to Dave McCann yesterday, and he's a big part of this media day for BYU. Is there another university that could actually pull off a media day for an independent program like BYU has done? I mean, it's very thorough, very well done, very impressive. But, you know, you think of so many independent schools and, you know, maybe they have a media day, but it just seems like BYU has that capability of pulling off a pretty remarkable media day.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thought that I would think of would be like a Notre Dame. You know, they could probably pull it off with their connections to NBC and maybe Peacock streaming, stuff like that. I know they've done things in the past. But, yeah, BYU, with their fan base, as passionate as it is, it's, you know, despite the season still being about 10 or so weeks away, there's year-round passion for BYU football. And I think that's what makes it unique, in that they're one of those programs that has a year-round following. It's not just in the season. You know, Cougar fans want to know about BYU football all year long, all the time. And it's good for us because, you know, they enjoy any sort of BYU football content. But yeah, it is a well-ran production, and it's a great chance to, you know, talk with all these players and coaches, get a summer check in before fall camp. And I'll kind of miss having these media days. I know that BYU's communication staff has indicated they might come up with some different things maybe in the future after spring ball for the media. But it's going to be different only having two players and Kalani Sitake as the only representatives at BYU at Big 12 Media Days next year at AT&T Stadium. So that'll be an adjustment, but
it's definitely not good. All about BYU at the Big 12 Media Days. I mean,
it would be fun. Right.
You got to have a few other folks in there,
you
too.
Know what that means, though? I mean, it's like the way we do Pac-12 Media Day. I mean, BYU's first Big 12 Media Day is going to be a huge freaking deal. I mean, I guarantee we're all going to be there. I guarantee that we're going to be doing the same thing that we do at Pac-12 Media Day, and that is just broadcast as much as we can there, because everybody does want to know who these opponents are, who BYU is going to be taking on. Yeah. Everybody does want to know who all these new players are going to be. The transfer portal has made it to where you have within a conference, you have guys popping from team to team now, and it's going to be – it's exciting stuff. So I think that – you know, next year it's going to look different, and BYU will have something. And to have the resources of a broadcast building like they do, and the huge broadcast ability they have is a huge deal. But tomorrow, who are the people that you look at and you go, I can't wait to talk with these players or these coaches, ones that we could kind of anticipate hearing some really, really great stuff from?
Well, I'm really curious to talk to Alliance Tuiaki. You know, that defense, there's no question about it. They took a step back, and I think by season's end, any team that BYU would have faced in college football, no one was scared of that defense anymore. I mean, UAB, Georgia Southern, USC with a freshman quarterback, they all had stretches where BYU was just getting carved up. And they I know you can point injuries, but, hey, a lot of teams in November have injuries. It's got to be more than that. And, you know, what adjustments do they make to that defense? What, you know, because Kalani Sitake pointed out in spring ball, he wants an aggressive style. He wants more explosive plays, as he put it, in spring ball. So what's Elisa Tuiaki, his plans to deliver what his head coach is wanting coming up this fall? I think that'll be fun to talk to him. I think also getting caught up with some of the linebackers like Peyton Wilgar, Keenan Peely. It's easy to forget the talent that was in that linebacker room with who they were trotting out at season's end. But there's a lot of guys in that linebacker spot that, you know, maybe could be good enough to hear their name called as NFL guys next year. Excited to talk with Wilgar and Peely, who come back from season-ending injuries a season ago. And I also, you know, want to get caught up with, some of the players like a Kingsley Suamataia and a guy like, you know, Gunnar Romney, who's been matured. I mean, he's a guy that's been around since 2018, and, you know, kind of pick his brain about his season that he wasn't expecting it this time a year ago to be back in Provo, but what's he doing to make the most of his opportunity to have a chance of having a pro career? So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of coverage tomorrow on KSLSports.com, and I'm sure with you guys in KSL Sports Zone, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's always an eventful day, and hopefully there's some newsy items from a personnel standpoint. I know that's something I always look forward to, kind of dissecting the roster a bit with these coaches on a one-on-one setting. And, you know, just getting a better perspective and outlook of what BYU football is going to look like in 2022.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know, when Alex was talking about going to the Big 12 Media Days in a year, and you think about being a fan of college football here in the state of Utah, and you're going to have access to football programs and an interest in football programs in Florida, in West Virginia, across the Midwest, Texas, in the Intermountain West, and on the west coast of the country, and between BYU and Utah and in the conferences they're in, And that's exciting. I mean, you're gonna have a peek into so much of college football if you're a fan, and you know, something to really look forward to. And I just had to make that comment. It wasn't really a question, but I do have a question. With Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12, where does the conference find relevance, and where do they have kind of that, I don't know, program, or what do they do to be considered a conference with clout?
Yeah, I think what works for the Big 12 going forward after Texas and Oklahoma, I think, is that they are programs in markets that care a lot about college football. And I think that's going to be something that can be very attractive and very appealing to their next media partners, is that these markets, in Salt Lake included, and BYU's, you know, worldwide following, they care about college football. And then that can't be said in all the Power 5 conferences. I mean, even in the Pac-12, where USC's the king, they're the fourth best show in L.A. They are, you know, even with Lincoln Riley and all that all-star transfers that they have, they're the fourth best show in that market. Whereas everywhere else, you know, I know it's Kansas, but Lawrence and Manhattan, they love their college football. Kansas City loves college sports. It's going to be a behind the Chiefs and things like that, but they are college towns that care. And I think that's something that's going to be massive, I think, for the Big 12. And, you know, during the Big 12 spring meetings, they had a presentation about their marketing, and Bob Bowlesby talked about things like their brands post Texas and Oklahoma are very appealing to the 18 to 44 range. And you think, what does that have to do with anything? I mean, but still, I think there is some recognition. There's some name value to these conferences. League. It's just a matter of identifying maybe who's going to be that next, you know, big time brand. But I think the thing is when you dive into the history of these programs, they've all had a lot of different success points, whether it be in college football and men's college basketball, that you can point to, and it gives you signs that maybe now they could take off and be something big. I mean, BYU, they could step into the Big 12 and be one of the top teams. I don't think that's a bad thing, because you're talking about one of the, you know, 8-10 winningest programs in college football over the last 50 years, a program that's had national success, whether it be, you know, that one national championship, a Heisman winner, Outland trophies. I mean, BYU has history that would say, yeah, that could be a blue blood brand, but they've never had the access of being a power conference team. And this platform now, without Texas and Oklahoma and this new Big 12, I think all these programs are going to be committed and invested more than ever to try to reach the heights that they've maybe never before experienced. And I think that's, again, one of the reasons why the Big 12 will be kind of so interesting, because there's not a clear-cut pecking order. And I think it makes for a fan experience that might be unique in a world of college athletics, which seems to be so predictable year after year.
2019, Kalani Sitake had a 20-19 record overall in those first few years, 16, 17, 18, and 19. After his first 4 years as head coach, 2020, 2021, and now 2022, think about how crazy it was to go from that 2019 season. What has Kalani Sitake done just in the last three seasons that has made it to where now it feels like this is a guy who could be that next Lavelle Edwards-type legend status at BYU as their head coach?
I think one of the big things is that he's maintained his recruiting classes. You're maintaining most of your personnel, and the guys that are leaving BYU primarily, they're maybe either getting maybe nudged out because, well, they didn't really show much those first couple of years, and there's a little bit of a surplus in numbers, or you know, academics, whatever it may be. You're not losing many guys that or difference makers. It seems like a lot of programs around college football these days, they're losing starters to the portal for NIL. That's not happening so far in Kalani's program. Now, NIL is still relatively new, and I'm sure it's going to happen eventually at BYU. But by simply just maintaining your numbers in recruiting classes, I think that's been huge for BYU, and I think that's why you've seen the improved depth in certain spots. Other areas, I think especially on the defensive side, it's got to get better. But I think that Kalani's also taken that approach from Lavelle of truly empowering his coordinators. And I think that what Aaron Roderick has done as an OC, I don't think anyone saw that coming to the level that he's experiencing right now. I mean, because when Ty Detmer got fired after the 2017 season, I don't think any BYU fan wanted Aaron Roderick as the OC because they thought, well, he wasn't that great at Utah. Maybe he was micromanaged, who knows, but Kalani's given him the green light to do what he sees best, and it's just taken off to where this offense, they feel like they could be a top 10 offense this year, and I think that's going to be a big storyline tomorrow at Media Day, the potential of this offensive attack. So I think Kalani too has also just taken on a CEO role where, you know, he is the leader of the program. He's got the right people that he trusts in his organization to help him in areas. And, you know, I think that he just truly oversees the program and empowers his people around him. It's similar in that vein to Lavelle Edwards, the guy that he, you know, has aspired to be, he said in the past.
Speaking of coordinators and assistant coaches, how stable is that coaching staff? Are there potentials for guys to move on, even like a guy like A-Rod?
I think it's pretty stable right now because they all got new contracts back in January, new pay raises. So I think there's a feeling that they want to, you know, carry this over into the Big 12. But I think if you looked at guys that maybe could get poached, you know, I think an Aaron Roderick would definitely be someone I think Group of Five programs would be wise to look at as far as a potential head coach because of the success he's having with QBs. And I mean, if Jaren Hall has another big year, which I think many people expect him to have, I think it'd be foolish not to look at Aaron Roderick if you're, you know, some Group of Five programs needing a head coach. And, you know, Ed Lamb's been tossed around in the past. I'm honestly kind of surprised that he's still at BYU this long. You know, I really thought he would have been someone that made the move to go to BYU to get back as a head coach, maybe at the G5 level or whatever it may be. But he's someone I'm sure would be in that same breath, maybe like Roderick as a potential G5 head coach. And I think then, you know, some of the position coaches too, but I think what makes this job attractive now to create job stability, I think for them is that they like their head coach, that they're working for their boss. He empowers them, I think. And as I said before with you guys, I mean, they do get a day off. I think that matters. You know, they actually get that one day during the fall on Sundays. And I think, you know, because there's other guys that are former BYU players that are working in football right now, college football, and they're going 7 days a week and they're working 15, 16, you know, maybe 20-hour days round the clock sleeping in their office. And Kalani's pretty good about these guys having a little bit of balance despite, you know, not being in a world that's so demanding. And I think that lends itself to where you might want to just stay there, especially with being at a program now that's P5. But, you know, if the salaries are huge and you can't turn that down, especially in this day and age we're in now. But I think it's pretty stable at the moment for BYU as they transition to the Big 12.
Jack DeMooney basically live tweeted his entire trip to the Caribbean. So, you know, these guys are doing all right. You know, being okay.
That's right.
Mitch Harper, of course, BYU insider for KSL Sports. He hosts Cougar Sports Saturdays on KSL News Radio. We will see you tomorrow, bright and early, I guess, Mitch, as we're going to be broadcasting there all day, and I'm sure we'll chat again. Thanks for hanging out, man. We'll talk to you again.
Yeah, see you tomorrow morning. Talk to you guys later.
There you go. Save me a cheese Danish. Can we have a cheese Danish, Scott? No. It's not on the list.
Does it have Cheez-Its in it?
If it's a Cheez-It Danish, then I'm all over it.
Cottage cheese.
see, now I regret telling you that. Now why? I regret telling you that. No, just because. All right. We'll take the break here when we come back. Huge announcement across the street at Vivint today as the UFC is going to be bringing UFC 278 to Salt Lake City. Ryan Smith and the CEO of the president of UFC, Dana White, making that announcement today. Sean O'Connell, OC, is going to join us a little bit. Of course, he had his time not just in MMA but in the UFC. So we'll chat a little bit about how big this is and how big this fight's going to be, and also sneak in a little bit of Pac-12 discussion as well, as he, of course, hosts Pac-12 radio on SiriusXM. We've got more to go right here. Stay right here with us. It is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. It's unrivaled.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.